This morning we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer this morning. You know, it's something like there's a poll that Barna recently did. It says 94% of people have prayed in the last 3 months. And almost 100% of people have prayed in their lifetime. It's pretty hard to get through life without praying, right? Even if you don't believe in God. I've got friends who are atheists, and they've told me, they're like, I've prayed. You know, I tried it out a few times. You know, who knows? I could be wrong here. And so we all are actually praying, more than likely. You've been praying at some point. Maybe you're, especially if you're here, there's a high likelihood that you're praying. And so what if there was a way to make your prayers more effective? What if there's a way to make your prayers more effective? So maybe you're, you know, praying for a family member this holiday season. Maybe you've got some job or career decision you want to make, and you've been talking to God about it. Maybe you've got, you're a student, and you've got exams coming up, and you're hoping you get an A in a class, or hoping you just pass, right? And so you've been praying. You've been like, God, please show up. Now, what if there was a way to make those prayers more effective? You know, it was funny, as I was doing the research for this, 12% of all prayers are for more sleep in the United States. And so what if you could have that prayer answered? What if you could get more sleep, right? I prayed that this week. I said, Lord, please, more sleep. And so, or prayers for health and wellness. That's another pretty common prayer and personal crisis. But what if you could make those prayers effective? How do you do that? Is there a way to do that? And the Bible's answer is yes. There is actually a way to make your prayers more effective, and there's ways to make your prayers less effective. There's ways to make your prayers more effective, and there's ways to make your prayers less effective. And so there's this great book of the Bible that's sort of like the how-to of the Christian faith, and that's James. James is like the how-to book. I mean, how many of you guys, this time of year, when you're charged with cooking something, you get on recipe.com or All Recipes, or you go on YouTube to try to find some kind of like step one, step two, step three, step four. Every time I'm charged with either cutting a turkey or making a turkey or anything to do with turkeys, I'm looking online. I'm like, what do I do first? And then, you know, like the pound, you guys have already probably started to do this, a pound per turkey, how long you cook it. So far, I've been able to cook zero successful turkeys. Anyone else? They're either burned to like, I mean, it's like death upon death on this turkey, or they're still kind of alive, you know? So it's never gone really well for me. But James is like the how-to, the cookbook for the Christian life. And one of the things that he tells us is how to make our prayers more effective. And so if you look at James, it's at James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. I've got it up here, and I'll just read this. And this is how to pray. I love how practical James is. Look how practical this is. The first line. First, is anyone among you suffering? I got an answer. Let him pray. You know, it's just immediately. Step one, pray. All right. And then he says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. I mean, what's a praise but talking to God? Just like prayer, right? Singing to God. It's still communicating with God. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I mean, that is kind of crazy practical, right? It's like step one, step two, step three. Goes on. And the prayer of faith, we'll talk about that, will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then look at this next verse. The effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. The effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. The effective prayer of a righteous person has great powers. There's a way to make your prayers effective. And it goes on in verse 17 to say, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So there's four things here that we can learn about, four ingredients that you need to make your prayers effective. Four ingredients that you need to make your prayers effective. The first two, we'll look at this. We're going to look at the first two, then we'll look at the second two. So the first one, I'll just start with actually the first one. The first one is that you have to believe in the power of prayer. Now, a lot of us would say, yeah, we believe in the power of prayer, but do you believe in the great power of prayer? Do you believe that prayer has great power? Huge, world-changing power. Weather-changing power. So Elijah here, that's what he references. James is like, look, you're going to need to believe. If you want to, have effective prayers, you need to start believing in the great power of prayer. And he uses Elijah as a reference because Elijah believed in the great power of prayer. And he prayed, it says, for 3 years. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain. Now, how many of you guys have ever been effective at changing weather patterns? Anybody in here? Through, like, planning? Anybody ever planned, like, got together with your people at work and, like, hey, let's plan how we're going to make it not rain for two months or something, or we're going to make it so that the temperature is always 70 degrees in North Carolina? Anybody ever done that through a planning meeting at work? No, you can't, right? It's impossible to plan that. But it's not impossible through the power of prayer. And so James is quick to say, it wasn't that Elijah was somehow special. He had a nature like you and me. It wasn't Elijah that was able to make this happen. It was the person that he was praying to. You see, prayer is as powerful as the one you're praying to. Prayer is as powerful as the one you're praying to. It has as much capacity as the one you're talking to. And so when we're talking to God, it has as much power as God himself. And what is God's limits on power? Oh, they are limitless, aren't they? They are completely limitless. That means your prayers have unlimited power in them because of who you're praying to. And Elijah knew this. He knew it wasn't my prayer that's doing anything. It's the person who's hearing it that can do the thing. So, and then it goes on. So one thing, somebody who really understood this was Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is America's finest theologian, right? By almost anybody's standard. The dude was smart, like crazy smart, like off the scale smart. He's so smart, and yet he was the person whose church saw the first great awakening begin in his church in America. I mean, to be that smart, and then also, so usually it's like, you know, it's like the, you think about revivals, you don't think about like the smartest person at Oxford, like it's going to come from that guy. You know, usually you think like, it'll probably come from some guy like, who's like the janitor at the high school who, and then he's just praying all the time and God's going to do it through him. But Edwards had both. He had the intellect and he had the spiritual revival component. And one of the things, and one of the reasons I think that is because he believed in the power of prayer. Edwards one time said, the power of prayer is so powerful that it can change the past. It can change the past. And he said, the reason why that is because when God hears your prayers, God's outside of all time. Okay, God's outside of all time. So the past, present, and future are before God at all times. So when you pray to God, it's not like he's hearing you on your timeline. He's hearing you as he's overlooking the past, present, and the future all at once. So your prayers aren't hitting him like right now, and he can only do stuff going forward. He has the power to actually change the past to make your prayer come true now. That is crazy powerful. Crazy powerful. And I'll give you an example of it in my life. I may have shared this before, but it's so worth sharing. On November 7th, 2016, my daughter was born into the world. My daughter, Evelyn Noelle Mitchell, cutest baby ever, I think. After having three boys and then having her, it's a different life, you know? It's just a different life. I had I won't tell that joke. Okay, so anyways. But one of the cool things about that night was, well, it wasn't that cool initially, but we had the baby, we had Evelyn, and then we got the bill. They handed us a bill, something like within like 2 hours of having her, which was like, come on, give us a little bit of time to enjoy this, you know? Handed us the bill, and it was for $5,000. And I was like, oh, Lord, oh, God. And I was, you know, trying to just enjoy having this new baby, and I just said, God, can you please, just a little prayer like this, God, can you please help with this? Can you just please help? And I'm not kidding. I didn't think about it again. And an hour later, I went and checked my email. And I had, this is the craziest thing, I had gotten $5,000 from this random person at this church I spoke at one time and sent one email to and never heard from ever before or since. It was $5,000. And I was like, how did you do that, God? It's like that was like crazy series of events, but that is just a little taste. That's such a small taste of the power, the great power of prayer. It's above, God's above all time and space. He can make the things you're praying now. He can go back in time and change stuff so that today you're getting that check. You're getting the thing that you're praying for. You're getting that job that you've been praying for. You're getting the life change that you've been asking for. So when you believe that prayer has great power, that's how God gets things done on planet Earth, this leads to more praying. And James knows this. That's why James starts off with saying, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Prayer should be, if you really believe in the power of prayer, that means the first place you're going to go to is prayer. Now listen to this. This is important. Lean in here, okay? Lean in. You leaned in? Because here's this is so missed. Often when we have a problem, the first place we go is to process with somebody else. Right? We have a problem and we want to go talk to a friend about it. I'm having this problem. I'm having this issue. And if we believed in the great power of prayer, the first place we go when we had a problem would be God. That's the first, because hey, what else? I mean, my friend can talk to me. They can help me emotionally a little bit get through this, but you know who can really help? The one who's above all things. The one who can do all things. And so that's one thing that we often do is that we often process with other people with our problems rather than going to God. The other thing that we often do is that we often plan. We plan first and then pray later. Switch those. If you believe in the great power of prayer, pray first and then plan later. And often when you go and pray, God might redirect you on how you would plan. You got to start going to God first for these things if you want to see your prayers be effective. And the reason why that is because you know what the most ineffective prayer in the world is? The one not prayed. The most ineffective prayer in the world. One way to guarantee that your prayer is not going to be answered is to not pray it. Is to plan it. Is to plan your idea or process your idea but not pray it. So, ingredient number one, you have to believe in the power of prayer so that you pray. Ingredient number two, you have to believe your prayers are really heard. Are really heard. And that's why he says in James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. The effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. We know from what the Bible says that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Romans 3, I think it's 10. And so all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so when I go to God, if I'm going on my own righteousness, if I'm saying, well, I've done all these things today, if it was based on just my goodness, there's no way he's answering that prayer. But as a Christian, because of what Jesus has done, when we pray, Jesus' righteousness is put on us. And so God hears our prayers as though we're as righteous as Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that he always answers our prayers as though we were righteous as Jesus. But that means he's got an inclination now to want to answer your prayers. So when he hears you're praying, it's like when my sons come to me. Because what happens through the righteousness of Jesus is that you are made sons and daughters. You have the same, listen to this, you have the same favor with God the Father as Jesus does. That is like the scandal of the gospel. Somehow, you've got the same favor. That means when you pray, you say, God, can I have this? He's like, I want to give you that. And the reason he won't always give you that is because he knows what would happen 5 steps down the road if he did. And so really, like if you look at, for instance, Romans 1 is, what does he do to the wicked? He just hands them over to their desires. He just gives them what they want. Not so with you, son or daughter. So sometimes a no is actually a yes for something way better. It really is. And so you're praying to him, you're asking for something, and he's like, I want to give you. It's like my kids are making their Christmas list. Yeah, anybody making Christmas list? Some of y'all are making Christmas lists. You know, you don't have kids yet, so you're making them, right? You're still sending them. Some of y'all are 34 and you're making Christmas lists. That's fine. It's okay. Christmas is fun, right? So one of my kids brought, it was Keller, he brought me his Christmas list and he was like, I want 150 Reese's Cups. I'm like, son, I want to give that to you, but that ain't happening. You know, like, I have an inclination to want to make you happy, to make your life a joy, but it's not going to happen. And so, because I love you, because I don't want you to be sick all Christmas Day, right? And for the next several weeks as you're trying to finish this bag of Reese's. But your prayers are heard with the same favor as Jesus Christ himself. And that's why you should boldly pray. That's what it talks about, boldly entering into the throne room. You should pray more and believe that they are heard. So a personal example of this, I'll give you a personal example. recently. And so this means like God hears your smallest prayer. So take everything to him. So Melissa and I have been thinking about this message, praying about this message for a few weeks. And as we were praying and thinking about it, I had this image that God gave me of like every prayer you pray, Alan, is heard in the halls of heaven. Like it really is. Like I actually hear it. You don't think sometimes I hear it because you think you messed up, or you did something. He's like, I hear it. It's heard in the halls of heaven. And so I was like, okay, praise God. I was like, all right, well, I've got it. Melissa and I, a couple weeks ago, had a headache. We both had headaches, which is weird for us both to have headaches at the same time. And we're sitting in bed with headaches, and I'm talking to her about it. I'm like, do you have a headache? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, this is weird and terrible. And I was like, I wish this would go away. And I was like, what if we just prayed about it? And so I was just like, all right, let's pray. And so I was like, God, please take these headaches away in Jesus' name. And I'm not kidding. Immediately, it was like, whoosh, gone. And I was actually scared to ask her because I was like, it worked for me. I'd hate for her to like be left alone. So I waited like 20 minutes and I mustered up the courage to ask her. I was like, did that work for you? And she's like, yes, it did. And I was like, oh, praise God. Okay, good. So, but it was immediate. God hears even the smallest prayer. All this comes down to those two ingredients. What they will make you do is they'll make you pray more. And as you insert those ingredients in your life, you're going to find yourself praying a lot. And it's kind of like that, any Office fans in here? Raise your hand if you're an actual Office fan. Okay. So you know that quote that Michael Scott, he's quoting Wayne Gretzky saying, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So for those of you who don't know, anyways, The Office is this silly show, and in it, Michael Scott's quoting someone else saying something on the back of his, he's got it on a poster in his wall. He's like, Michael Scott saying what Wayne Gretzky's saying. Anyways, maybe you need to see it. But the point is that Wayne Gretzky says that. He says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And it's the same thing with prayer. You miss 100% of the prayers you don't take. If you don't take them, you're not going to make them. Right? Oh, no. So if you don't take them, you're not going to make them. And so the batting averages, right? A good batting average in baseball is what? 300. It's amazing, right? Like if you're doing 300, you're doing pretty well. The more you take, if you never swing, there's no chance that prayer is going to be answered. Our lives have got to be filled more. It has to be inundated with prayer. If you want to see prayer work, you need to be praying all the time. God, I pray for this. 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 And then one of those five get answered, and it's like, that was amazing that God answered that. And then you do it again. And we'll talk a little bit about how to increase your batting average. But if you're not taking swings, you're not going to have a batting average at all, right? So you got to take it. So those are the first two things, is that the first two ingredients is you have to, one, believe has prayer has great power, and two, believe your prayers are really heard. And that will make you pray more, which is essential. Two, you know, it's like making a turkey. You know, if you're not going to actually start making a turkey, you can't make a turkey. Okay, if you don't start praying, you can't actually have answered prayers. So got to get that. And I think, you know, a lot of statistics and stuff show that Americans are, like, their prayer lives are just taking a dip. We're planning, we're processing, but we're not praying. Go to prayer first. All right, the third ingredient really is how to make the prayers you are praying effective, how to make them more effective. So the first thing that James says here is that he says, look, one of the things you got to do is you got to have the prayer of faith. Ooh, the prayer of faith. What does that mean? It's kind of a loaded term, but it's pretty cool. The prayer of faith. What's an effective prayer? Well, it has the prayer of faith in it. Well, in order to understand that, we have to look at, he unpacks it, James does, at the beginning of James, James chapter 1. Get that. All right, and it says, he's talking about wisdom, but it applies to all prayer. James starts off his book saying, this is how you have the prayer of faith. You ready? Because the prayer of faith sometimes gets lost and like, what's a prayer of faith? What does that mean? This is what a prayer of faith is, and this will make your prayers more effective. James says, you know, if you're sick, you better have the prayer of faith. Otherwise, your prayers aren't going to be as effective. And so here we go, the prayer of faith. This is what it is. If any of you lacks wisdom, and imagine James is sitting on a couch with you, okay? And he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you lack wisdom, sitting on a couch with you, look, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Go ahead, he's just sitting with you. Go ahead and ask God. He's looking at you. Just look, if you lack something, you don't have something, just go ahead and ask God. And he said, because God gives generously to all without reproach or without fault finding. That is some of the sweetest words in the New Testament. Like, God, look, you're having a hard time, just ask God. Just go to God and say, God, you give generously without finding fault. Could God find fault? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo! Oh, yeah. All day. But he doesn't. He's good to us. He's kind to you. And he doesn't want to give you a snake. You know, it talks about that. Jesus talks about that, how we often so view God incorrectly. We don't view him in his goodness and kindness. We view him as a person who we'd pray, and it's like that genie prayer where, you know, you don't pray exactly the right thing, and then he gives you something bad, right? It's like, you want all the money in the world. Well, here's all the money in the world, but you stole it from everybody else, and now the FBI is after you. You know, it's something like that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah, you got to be very specific, because who knows what's going to happen. But that's just coming from a place of mistrust. It's a place that you don't actually view God as good and kind to you. And he is good and kind to you. So very good and kind. He doesn't find fault with you. And so it says that is so important to believe as you pray. If you don't believe that, this person should not expect, look at this, but let him ask in faith. Faith in God's goodness. That's the prayer of faith. Faith in God's goodness. You got that? Faith in God's goodness is the prayer of faith. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts that God is good is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. If you don't believe in God's goodness, you're not going to find that prayer answered. That's a tough reality, but that's part of effective prayer. It's like, God, you're good. And so you're going to probably have to acknowledge that. Like, God, as I'm praying, there's doubts in my heart to say you're not good. I'm standing on what the Word says. You are good and kind to me. That's the prayer of faith. Faith in God's goodness. Do you have that? So I'll give you another example. It's the same example as I used earlier. Like with the prayer for my daughter for the $5,000. We could have done a better job saving for that $5,000. We could have. If God wanted to find fault with us on that, he could have found fault with us on that. But God is so good. He didn't. And he said, I'm just going to give it to you, even though you don't deserve it, because I'm good and I love you. I'm a loving father. And he wants to do the same in your life. There are things you shouldn't get, but he's like, I'm good. Remember, I'm not going to find a fault here. I'm good. I'm going to give you that thing that you don't deserve, just so you know how good I am. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it, okay? You got to believe he is good. Have faith in his goodness. All right, the second thing that you need in your prayer. So the first two ingredients were so that you would pray. The second two things are so that when you do pray, the first one is you got to believe and have faith in God's goodness. The second one is kind of crazy because we're not used to this in the sense of we got to confess. You got to confess your sins. It says it back on the other slide. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So there's a little bit of confession that actually helps your prayer sometimes. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. So like, for instance, again, God's not fault-finding. Oh, you haven't confessed everything. You haven't confessed all your sins. I'm not going to answer it. But sometimes it's like, imagine your prayer is like a balloon. And it's tied down to like a sandbag. And the sandbag, for instance, in this case, represents, let's say, an idol, okay? So to understand, like, confession of sin, we'll talk about idols real quick, okay? So an idol is anything that you love more than God. You love more than God. And it can be a good thing. It can be a very good thing. It could be something God has entrusted you with. So for me, for instance, like, I'm a father. Like, I'm supposed to be a good father. Like, that's just period, done. It's in the Bible. I don't have to, like, discern my calling, wake up. Like, am I supposed to be a good dad today? It's like, guess not. I'm not really feeling that. I'm feeling called to something else. You know, it's like, no, it's always the same. Am I supposed to love my wife? Yep. Guess what I get to do tomorrow? Tomorrow, my calling is to love my wife, then love my kids, right? And then love my church, actually, I would say is after that. And so that's what I'm called to do all the time. And so sometimes, though, instead of letting God be God, I like to be, I wouldn't say this, you know, want to say this, but I like to take control of the reins, right? I like to be in charge and make things happen. And so a few weeks ago, again, we were just in this sort of meditating on these scriptures about prayer. And we had been running into some issues with our kids. And it was just like, if you're a parent, this happens, the behavioral issues. And you're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Our kids seemed so great 6 months ago. And now they are acting like maniacs. And you're just thinking, what are we going to do? And Melissa and I had tried a bunch of things. We're like, well, what if we adjust our parenting like this? and we start doing this better, and we start reading more books at night, and we go on, you know, do this thing, and then maybe we get a tutor. No, we didn't have to go that far. They're only like eight, but we have all these things we're going to do. And then finally, one night, we finally just said, God, I can't do this, but you can. I haven't really even prayed about this, if I'm being honest. I prayed you to help me do my plan, but honestly, I just need to hand it over to you. And we prayed that prayer. There's a confession of like, I can't do this, God, but you can. And it was like when I prayed that, it was like the prayer, if it was a balloon connected to the sandbag of the idol, it was like cut. And immediately was heard. And I'm not kidding, the next two or three days, it was like our kids had been transformed. And they were like acting like upstanding citizens, and they were helpful and bringing health to society in some way. And Melissa and I were like, what happened? That was amazing. And that's the power of prayer, you see. But there sometimes God wants you to just hand over that thing you've been praying for to him and say, God, I can't do this, but you can. That's what we mean by confession. It doesn't have to be it's super weird. You shouldn't be confessing every sin that you ever thought of. Okay, if I just confess one more, then he'll answer my prayers. It doesn't really work like that. It's more or less like just handing over the thing you're probably praying for to him and being like, God, you're God and I'm not. And I know you're good. So here you go. Take it wherever you want it. And when you release that grip, it's like, bam, the prayer's heard. Now, if it's not, let's say you release it and it's like he doesn't give you what you want. Like, for instance, like you're praying about a job or something. What's cool about confession is that it does the work of, listen to this, the point of all prayer. The point of all prayer. When you confess, you're doing the point of all prayer every single time. See, the point of all prayer is to grow in a relationship with God. That's the point. Think about it. Like, for instance, when you're vulnerable with a friend, does that grow the relationship or not? When you open up about your struggles to a friend and say, look, I've been really struggling with this. I haven't told anybody. All of a sudden, there's more relationship than there was before. And that's the point of all prayer. So even when you confess and you're like, I confessed, I did it, and nothing happened, it's like something did happen. And that's what that's actually what James is saying. He says the prayer, the effective prayer of the righteous man accomplishes, has great power and can be translated accomplishes much. As you're praying, multiple different things are happening. But the one thing that's always happening is that you're growing in your relationship with God. And the reason that's true is because how is another way you grow in a relationship with another person? How do you do it? By spending time talking to them, right? The more hours you spend talking to a person, the relationship grows, and the relationship grows, and the relationship grows, and the relationship grows. And what kills a relationship? Less talking, less conversation, less communicating back and forth. God wants the point of all prayer to grow in all of our lives. He wants the relationship to grow in all of our lives. Unfortunately, one of the things Melissa and I have joked about is, I'm one of the people on staff here, and we've got a college team. And when I first started leading the team, I was like, you know what I think would really help our team grow in a relationship with each other? What if we went and saw a movie? And I like movies. Pastor Taylor and I just went and saw a movie. It was great. Yeah, no talking, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She was like, no one's going to talk the whole time. You're going to watch the movie and then go home. You guys, what's the point of that? Don't you want to like get to know these people? I'm like, huh. There might be some wisdom in that, right? Like, but the movie is really good. and so that's kind of how we approach God a lot of times. We show up to church like a movie theater. We show up, we're just listening, we're hearing that, we're not really communicating with God even during the service. Oftentimes when we're worshiping to God, we're supposed to be singing to God, we're just singing. And oftentimes, and I've done this a lot, this is coming from my personal experience, is when there's a time to pray in church, am I really like intentionally being like, God, I'm talking to you right now. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm talking to you. I often have not done that. And we have all these opportunities before us to grow in a relationship with God, which is the point of all prayer. And yet, I think some of us are doing a little bit of the movie theater thing, if we're being honest with ourselves. I know often I am. And I know God wants more and more and more of my life to not just be sitting in the back watching something, but talking to him over and over and over again. And you know what happens when you do that? You know what happens? The more you spend time, your prayers actually get more effective. You know why? Because your will starts to get in line with God's will. Because you know Him now. You're like, I know how God operates. I know how God the Father treats things. I know what He wants and His purposes, because we have this relationship that's growing and getting bigger and getting larger. And I could tell you what I think He's probably wanting to do in your life now, not only in my life. And that's what happens. And so your prayers start to reflect His will. And our prayer life starts to look like Jesus' prayer life. You know, Jesus had 100% of His prayers answered. 100% of His prayers answered. 100% of His prayers were effective when He prayed them. Now, sometimes He'd look at somebody and be like, there's no faith there, so I'm not going to do anything. But when He went to go pray for somebody, it happened. Every time. Every prayer was answered except for one. Except for one. And you see, that prayer gave us the relationship that we have now. In the garden, He says, God, if there is a way, this is the night before He goes to the cross, He says, if there's a way to not go to the cross, if there's a way to not be separated from You tomorrow, to lose the relationship that I've had for eternity with You, spending eternity talking with You as a father and a son talk to each other, if there's a way to not have that cut off, Lord, please let it be. And then He says, but not, I know Your will, but not my will be done, but Your will, Lord. And then the next day He goes to the cross, right? He goes to the cross, and then on the cross, for the first time, He doesn't cry out as somebody who's close to God as a father is to a son. He cries out to just the basically general idea of God, Elohi, Elohi, which is just generally ways of talking about God. He doesn't call Him Yahweh. He doesn't call Him Father. He just says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And you see, that prayer of Him having a relationship with God, of not being separated, was the only prayer that went unanswered. And it went unanswered for you. It went unanswered for you so that the real prayer that's behind all your prayers, the point of all prayer, can always happen in your life. So that your relationship with God can get closer and closer and closer over time. Now, in one sense, you're always close to God, but as you pray, you get to experience what Jesus experienced from eternity past. You know, does that make sense? And He did that because He loves you. And He calls you. He says, be like I am. Pray. You know, Jesus prayed all the time. You know the book He quotes the most? The book of Psalms. What's the book of Psalms? It's a bunch of prayers. It's a bunch of talking to God. He quotes it over and over and over again. And that's how your life is supposed to look. Increasing in your number of prayers. Increasing in your relationship with God through prayer. And increasing in your effectiveness with prayer. How great of a life there is for you as you start to pray. And so some of us this morning, being very practical, which of these four ingredients are you missing? Which of these four ingredients are you missing? It's time to do an inventory check. And even as we worship and pray, it might be a time to ask God, which of these four things do I need to work on? And the way you know you need to work on the first two is that you're not praying very much. Right? Think about it like this. Like you ever been to one of those time management? I talked about the students to this recently, and none of the students had any idea what I was talking about. But, you know, I hope some of you guys are different. Okay, so have you ever been to a time management workshop where they're like, you should put your big rocks in first? Can I just get a show of hands on that? I felt like a crazy person at our campus meeting. Like, I'm from a different dimension of time management that doesn't exist in this plane. All right, so, but anyways, you put the big rocks in first, right? And so, whatever your big rocks are, you know, and then what do you do next? You put the little rocks in, and then you put what else? What's next? Sand in. And the idea is, like, the big rocks, if you put them in first, you can get more in there. And as I was just praying about this, I felt like God was like, look at it the other way. Like, what fills the most volume of that container? Because it goes big rocks, little rocks, sand, and then water. It's the water. The water fills every crevice and space in between all the big rocks. So look, you don't have to actually, I'm not saying this morning, oh, change your whole life and go sit up in a monastic prayer house and just pray forever until Jesus comes back or you die, okay? You know, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying this morning is fill all the nooks and crannies of your life with prayer. So you get 10 seconds. On your way to work, if you're not praying at all, do 10 seconds. Do 10 seconds. Who can't do 10 seconds? God, I just want to thank You for this day. Just that is working on that relationship.
And he would rather you start doing just that than not doing anything at all, than not having a growing relationship at all. And then maybe you'll add another 5 seconds onto that if you go really crazy, right? Where you're doing like 15 seconds now. It's like, whoa, watch out. It's like, what's my relationship with God? Man, I prayed for like a minute and a half this week. Yeah, I tell you what, it was on fire. But I'm telling you, just start filling your empty spaces, not with Spotify, not with YouTube, not with work things, not with thinking and planning work, not with processing with somebody on the phone your problems. Begin to change at least some of that out with prayer and see what God happens and see the answer to your prayers become more effective. They will. And see your relationship with God begin to increase. It will. What a wonderful life we have before us. So as we go into Thanksgiving season, you're going to be driving. You're going to be driving for 5 hours. And all I'm saying is take 5 seconds. No, hopefully a little bit more. Just take a little bit of time on that prayer ride. On that prayer ride is what it is now, right? It's not a drive anymore. It's a prayer ride. But take some time on that. Maybe on the hour, every once on the hour, if you've got a 5-hour drive, you've got a 3-hour drive, you've got a 1-hour drive, and just take, I'm going to go bold here, 1 minute, and just talk to the Lord, okay? That's the practical point. You got a long drive, and when it hits, okay, it's 5, I've left at 3, I'm going to pray right now, and then at 4:01 or 4 o'clock, I'm going to pray again for 1 minute, and then when 5 o'clock comes on this prayer ride or this plane ride, I'm going to pray again for 1 minute. I know it sounds silly, but if you'll just start doing that, that'll help kind of get you going. So you guys cool with that? We'd love to hear about it. If you start praying more this week, if you do a little bit more and you start to see some testimonies from it, please come talk to us. Please come talk to Pastor Taylor and I. But use that drive. That's your new prayer ride, okay? Wherever you're going, that's your chance. And you probably need it, some of you, right? You're going to some situations, okay? If you got your family's anything like some of our families, you need some prayer. So all right, start praying. All right, Lord, I just thank you for this amazing group of people who love you, who want to grow in the point of prayer. And Jesus, we thank you that you made it possible for us to always grow in a relationship with your Father, to make us righteous before God, to make our prayers powerful, to make our prayers effective. That's all through your unanswered prayer. And we're just so thankful, Jesus. We really are. And I pray you would open our hearts to pray more. And as we, you know, this ride thing, God, would just expand into all of our rides. We'd find ourselves at least every ride taking 1 minute to pray. And so, Lord, put that in our hearts, Holy Spirit. Change us and let us be the kind of people like Jesus were. Let us have Jesus's prayer life eventually as effective and powerful and relationship building as it was. In Jesus' name, amen.